with the pirates, because of course they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
This is a first down. Pirates.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Or you don't coach at East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
You better go, Thelma. I can promise you that.
Hand and trample all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
It was an unbelievable atmosphere. I've coached a long time in a lot of great places, and I don't think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. There were some times where it was deafening in there.
This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first-round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on the Sports Objective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
What is going on, Pirate Nation? Welcome in to the Sports Objective and Pirate Basketball Overtime. The Sports Objective, of course, the podcast for Pirates and your home for the best ECU hoops coverage. To Pirates sweep the Shockers, East Carolina 68, Wichita State 55. Brandon Johnson picking up where he left off on Saturday night. 21 points, knocked down three trifectas. RJ Felton also 21 points, and heck of a performance, Matt. And this team continues to build momentum. And now on Sunday afternoon against Tulane, and we'll have the opportunity to win our seventh AAC game, a first time feat, or what would be, and also win a third straight game.
Absolutely, Bubba. And, just like we've talked about all year, this team is going to show up most nights and play really hard defensively. The issue has been the ability to shoot a high percentage from the field. And, tonight you got a really good combination of really strong defense, and we were able to knock down shots and shoot the ball really well. And, offensively, this team is going to go as Brandon Johnson goes. And, the last two games, he's been able to kind of pick it back up after struggling for a few weeks and, shot the ball, shot a high percentage, knocked down shots from the perimeter. So that's a good formula for this team. If he can play like that, they're going to be in just about every game, I think, in this conference.
Yeah, early on in this one, we faced, I think it was a 6-point deficit, 17-11, something along those lines, about 8-9 minutes in. But from that point on, the Pirates really took it to Wichita State and led by 11 at halftime. From about the 11 minute mark to the 6 minute mark of the first half. So in about a 5-minute stretch, we outscored Wichita State 16-2.
Yeah, that was a critical run because we were kind of struggling a little bit there offensively, and all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, we started knocking down shots, and I think we went on a quick 9-0 run. Wichita called a timeout, and honestly, we never really looked back from that point. We really took control of the game, at that point, like you said, and we're just able to kind of, maintain that lead for the rest of the night, and they never really got close. That's the kind of performance you're looking for when you play a team, when you're at home, and you're playing an in-conference opponent that's really struggling to win games. You want to kind of, put the clamps down and not give them a chance. And I thought the team did a really good job, tonight with that kind of effort.
undoubtedly, you know, the on Saturday, Pirates led by as many as 25 and had that large halftime lead, double-digit lead once again tonight. And very similar to Saturday in that, you know, once we extended that lead out to, I think the largest lead was 19 tonight, about midway through the second half, Wichita State, you know, made a couple little mini runs to get it down to about 10, 11, but we were able to hold them at arm's length. Even when we did go 3 minutes without a point, you had R.J. Felton in that little drought there with a big three-pointer that pushed the lead back out to 13. And things never got as interesting as they have seemed to in the past.
Absolutely. I mean, you had two guys, you know, really scoring the ball well tonight. I want to say, I think Brandon Johnson was probably, I think he shot it around 60%, and RJ was right around 50% too. So, you know, if you have that 1-2 punch and then everybody kind of filling in around them, you're going to have some good nights. And hey, you know, just a little sidebar here, you know, for the people who are interested in sometimes gambling on these games, the over-under for this game tonight was 138.5. The last time we played Wichita, the score was 52-50, so 102 points. And when I saw that over-under, Bubba, I was all over that. I thought that was I was surprised that Las Vegas was that far off. So, you know, they kept this game well under 138 points. So, you knew it wasn't going to be an offensive display.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier this afternoon, and just the spread and the over-under. And given what happened a few weeks ago out in Wichita, I said, I'm hammering that under. And it certainly panned out that way tonight, 68-55, so 123. You had 15 points to spare there. And, you know, once I started thinking about what I thought the score would be, you know, I really felt like this would be a game where the first one to 60 or 65, and even though the Pirates shot right at 60% in the first half and had 38 points, it still turned out to be that kind of game.
Yeah, it sure did. And, yeah, I mean, hey, listen, Wichita has really struggled to score the ball against us this year. So, you know, and they've had some pretty, you know, impressive offensive nights, you know, throughout the course of this season. So, again, you know, like I've been saying all year, this team, they do show up defensively. They're going to keep the opponents in check in terms of scoring offense. So it really just comes down to, you know, making shots. You know, can you knock down your perimeter shots? Can you shoot good from the free throw line? And hey, tonight, another good, I know you're going to go through the stats, Bubba, but another good night from the free throw line. And for this team, when your margin of victory is so slim, like we see, when you have so many games that come down to the last minute, you know, 3 or 4 point game, either way, the ability to make free throws can be all the difference. Tonight, you really didn't need it, obviously, but it's a good sign to see this team is shooting better from the free throw line.
They certainly are. And, you know, since you referenced numbers, let's go ahead and, you know, run through some of these lines tonight. And let's start off with the team statistics. And the Pirates, 25 of 55, 45.5%, 7 out of 19 from beyond the arc, 36.8. Meanwhile, Wichita State, 20 out of 53, 37.7, just 19%, however, from 3, 4 out of 21. You talk about the way the Pirates shot free throws, 11 out of 12, 91.7%. Wichita State, also very good from the charity stripe, 11 out of 13, 84.6. The Pirates held a slim 32-30 edge on the glass. Assist, and obviously the big thing, like Coach Schwartz talked about on Inside Pirate Athletics on Monday night, and that is, I mean, when obviously to have an assist and you have to have a made shot, and Pirates once again shot the basketball pretty well tonight as they did on Saturday. And as a result, ECU had 18 assists compared to just 10 for the Shockers. You had The Pirates with 9 steals. Wichita with 8. 7 block shots for ECU compared to just 1 for the Shockers. And then the Pirates had 11 turnovers compared to 14 for Paul Mills Ball Club. And things were even with 24 to a 24 stalemate in the paint.
Yeah, no, those are obviously some winning numbers. I mean, a lot to like there. Bubba, can you throw those back up on the screen for 1 minute? Just want to take a look at that. I mean, you know, when you look at these numbers, you're going to win a lot of games like this, shooting 45% from the field, you know, holding the opponents to only 19% from three, you know, closing out on shots, running out to the three-point line, closing out. You know, those are winning numbers. And I do like to see, you know, winning the assist battle too, because too many times this year, when you look at the stat line after the game, our assist numbers are just, you know, subpar. So, you know, that's nice to see. And then obviously the 7 blocks. I mean, that's a great number too. So really solid statistics tonight, solid all-around performance. Listen, I know we beat a team that's at near the bottom of the league in the standings, so I don't want to make too much of it. But, you know, this team needed a shot of confidence. They really did, because they were struggling for a few weeks. Now you have 2 in a row with a chance to win another game on Sunday. And again, just like we've talked about so many times, Bubba, another opportunity to build momentum and win potentially 3 consecutive games in conference, which is something that's been, you know, obviously very elusive for this team.
And when you say very elusive, and the Pirates have never accomplished that in the American Athletic Conference, hard to believe, but it's a fact. And that's something that we can change on Sunday afternoon, and we'll certainly talk more about this. But Pirate Nation, not a terrible crowd tonight, right around 4,000, I think 3,940, but a little disappointed in that. However, the ones there, it didn't sound bad on the ESPN Plus feed. You had a decent student turnout, and they were very into it. More so than they had been in recent games. And that was great to see. And so on Sunday afternoon, the Pirates, again, play Tulane. It's alumni weekend. I know you're going to have Gabe Mikulas back, Othello Meadows, who was such a great player for the Pirates back in your era. He's back in his hometown of Omaha, Nebraska, and he'll be making that long trip from Middle America to Minji's Coliseum this weekend, and that's great to see him.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Bubba. It's a little lag. Happy to see Othello coming back. It's always nice to get former players back in the building. So, you know, hopefully they give him something to cheer about. You know, a good performance.
And not to get off on a tangent here, but you know, one of the top Pirate basketball memories from my childhood was a 3-pointer he hit to beat UNC Wilmington off the right wing, you know, where Pirates trailed. Get this. This was the days of Jerry Wainwright and very low scoring knockdown drag out affairs with UNC Wilmington. Pirates trailed 44-42, and Othello Meadows drain that 3 off the right wing, and you know, all the football players and the Hart twins, et cetera, that were in that, you know, into the arena near the natatorium, you know, came rushing onto the court to celebrate with the players, and it was awesome.
That's awesome. That's definitely a great memory there, and you know, good to look back on that one, and you know, hopefully we have something more to cheer about this weekend, and you know, I'll tell you, I feel really good about this game on Sunday, Bubba. I really do. I think this Tulane team, they've struggled. They've been very up and down. I think they've underachieved this year. And when you have a little momentum on your side, and when you have your, you know, what I consider our top offensive player, Brandon Johnson, when he's confident and he's being aggressive and he's knocking down shots, you know, I think that we have a very good chance to win that game. So it's going to be interesting to see what the line is for that when it comes out. If I had to guess, Now I'll kick this back to you. But if I had to guess, I'll say ECU minus 1.5. How about that?
Yeah, I definitely think the Pirates will be favored at home. Tulane can really score. That's going to be very intriguing to see that matchup between East Carolina's excellent defense and Tulane's. Although they've underachieved, I think most people would agree with that, Coach Hunter included, that you know, they can really score. And tonight they lost to SMU in New Orleans, but they still put up 79 points. I think it was at SMU 87, Tulane 79, or something to that effect. We will go through the American scoreboard here in just a few minutes. But appreciate the support of Ed Watkins, a former East Carolina offensive lineman from back in your era, Matt. And
Big Ed.
Yeah, Big Ed on board this year as a title sponsor for Absolute Empowerment, Coach Connor's show each and every Monday night. But you know, we certainly appreciate his support of the Sports Objective as a whole and everything he does also, you know, for East Carolina, you know, be it the Pirate Club, et cetera. But, you know, hey, it will be boating weather before you know it. Time to go out and do some fishing, you know, or what have you. Perhaps, you know, just some time on the lake on a pontoon boat. But go to edwatkinsmarine.com. They have two locations to serve you, both in the greater Charlotte area of our state, one in Denver, also in Cornelius. In Denver, they can be found on North Carolina Highway 16 Business in Cornelius on West Catawba Avenue. You can reach that Denver store at 704-483-BOAT or in Cornelius, 704-498-4985. Again, 704-498-4985. They have fishing boats, center consoles, family friendly bow riders, trailers, pontoon boats, engines, UTVs, you name it. Whether you're buying a boat or repowering your existing boat, they can meet all of your boating needs, and they have all the popular brands that you're seeking. Moving on to some individual numbers from tonight's game. The Pirates, as we mentioned in the lead-in, were led by Brandon Johnson and R.J. Felton. Both of those gentlemen had 21 points. Brandon had another double-double, 21 and 10, 7 out of 13 from the floor, 3 out of 6 from 3, 4 of 4 from the charity stripe, and 4 steals and a couple of block shots for Brandon. Sierra Malonga had 1 point. You had RJ, as I mentioned, with 21, also 6 boards, 7 out of 14 from the floor, 3 out of 5 from 3. 4 for 4 from the charity stripe, a couple assists for RJ Felton. Those were the lone Pirates in double figures tonight. You had Bobby Pettiford, a nice game off the bench for Bobby. 8 points, 4 assists, a couple of rebounds. Cam Hayes, 3 out of 9, and knocked down a big 3. You had 7 points and 5 assists for Cam. Jaden Walker had 4 points, 7 rebounds. And then you also had Ezra Saar with 4. Just 3 shot attempts for Ezra tonight. And he had those 4 points off the bench. Caleb LeCount had a pair. And that would do it for the Pirates to total 68 points in their 68-55 win over the Shockers, leading the way for Wichita State. It was Rogers. Rogers had 16, and Harlan Beverly finished with 12 points for Paul Mills Ball Club.
Yeah, and how about the monster dunk from Ezra early in that game tonight? Like you said, he didn't get many shot opportunities. And really, you know, fortunately, we didn't really need him to have a lot of shot opportunities tonight because, you know, other guys were going well. But, you know, when you look down that stat line, you know, some efficient performances from different guys, you know, Pettiford, you know, obviously, hey, only 8 points, but he was efficient from the field. So just, you know, good, solid performances all around tonight. And, you know, that's the formula that if this team's going to be successful, that's the formula that we saw tonight. Really solid defense, strong performances from Johnson, strong performance from Felton, and then everybody else kind of filling in the pieces around those two guys. So hopefully we can get more of that, you know, moving forward.
We have several folks chiming in tonight on Facebook, YouTube, and X as we talk East Carolina basketball. And let's go to this comment on YouTube from Johnny Gardner. And he says, seems we are finding an identity as we go down the stretch. Time will tell, however, you know, whether we have the makings of a team that can make some noise. I mean, I know Johnny believes that we do. And he says, just saying. But, we definitely do a lot of things well. And, you know, as Mark Adams mentioned on the telecast the other day, Saturday afternoon, out in San Antonio, you know, if the Pirates can shoot the ball at just a very average clip with the way we play defense, we can definitely make some noise down the stretch and in the American Athletic Conference tournament.
Yeah, and good point by Johnny there. And, you know, when was the last time, you know, we saw, you know, this team, you know, take a 10-point lead or so relatively early in the game and then just maintain it all the way through? It's been a while. I mean, usually the other team is going to make a run. You know, they're going to cut it to two, maybe tie it, maybe even take the lead. And, you know, it's been a while, right, Bubba, since we've seen that kind of, you know, not quite wire-to-wire performance, but, you know, for a good 75% of the game, you know, just kind of maintain a 10-point lead or so.
Yeah, Saturday was a little bit different, and you know, we never trailed against UTSA, but, yeah, to your point, yeah, prior to that, and tonight it was a little more competitive throughout as opposed to UTSA, where you built that 25-point lead. And you know, led by 23 at halftime, and really we're just, you know, keeping them at arm's length the rest of the way, and they never got it under 10 in the second half. Tonight you led by 11 at the half, and you know, let's see, looking at the box score here as far as the way things unfolded after halftime, you know, the Pirates immediately got that three-pointer just over 30 seconds into the second half to extend things out to 14. And I really don't think that they got it under 10. They got it down to 10 on a few occasions, but the Pirates were keeping that lead between 10 and 15 for most of the second half.
Yeah, you never felt threatened really at any point.
Right.
So, Bob, what do you think it is? I mean, the last two games – with Brandon Johnson, obviously this is the player that we expect to see. I mean, this is the player that we need, the type of performances. What do you think's changed from him? Do you think it's his mindset? Is it his just shooting the ball more confidently? Is it the opposition? Teams not closing out as well? Like, what are you seeing that's allowing him to just play this much better?
I think it's probably all of the above, honestly. You know, the Pirates were coming off their open week, you know, had not played since that Charlotte game, did not see any midweek action, and you know, going into UTSA, a nice and much needed rest, and you know, as a result, our guys had fresh legs, in addition to fresh minds, and went down and played well in San Antonio, and I think, as Cy Seymour noted on tonight's broadcast on ESPN Plus, excuse me, that Brandon Johnson and RJ Felton, et cetera, you know, when you're coming off in an 11-point road win like we were at UTSA, you know, the guys are playing with confidence, and you're back at home, you know, looking to get to 500 in conference play. And so I think all those things, you know, as you know, when you're gassed, and Brandon Johnson, yeah, he had only played 23 against Charlotte because of his injury, but prior to that, you know, most games he's playing between 35 and 40 minutes, and probably a lot of times closer to 40, more so than 35. And so I think he's probably just worn down with our lack of depth, and that week off, you know, from competition in a game did him and the rest of the team a lot of good.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I mean, I think that's a great point. Sometimes just getting away, you know, so many tough losses there before that week-long break for this team. And I think you're right. I think physically they were a little beat down, but I think more than anything, mentally, this team was really struggling. You know, sometimes the best thing is to just get away from it. You know, I have a lot of respect for coaches who give their teams a day or two off. And when I say a day or two off, I mean off. You're not in the building. You're not thinking about basketball. You completely get away from it. No different in football, too. I think, really good coaches will do that. And sometimes that just gives you a chance to step away, you know, kind of refresh your mind. Obviously, you know, heal up physically. And, you know, it does look like a different team the last two games. Now, obviously, we're playing teams that are, you know, bottom tier. So the true test, you know, another big test will be on Sunday to see how we do. And, you know, like I said, we got to maintain this momentum now. The last thing in the world you want to do is drop a home game, you know, when you're playing this well.
Right. And that's something that is kind of a good segue, because we have not played as well as we've needed to at home. And yeah, you've had, you know, some of those more challenging games at home, but I mean, like, you had North Texas on the ropes, and then you allowed them to make that 85-foot baseball pass and win that game by a point. And you just think about that one, and then early in the season, the USC Upstate game, Northeastern, and there were ones that we let slip. I think that win tonight perhaps made us 10-7 at home, if I'm not mistaken. And so, yeah, instead of 10-7, you'd really like to have seen us more like 12-5 or 13-4.
Oh, no doubt. So many games that could have went our way. But I just happened to see Johnny Robertson's comment, Bubba. Ken Pom's early line is Tulane minus one. She says, take that information lightly. So, okay. So Johnny, I had it ECU minus 1.5. So not too far off. That line could swing. But, yeah, I think this is essentially a pick 'em game, Johnny. You know, that's kind of the feel it has for me. You know, whoever comes out and, you know, shoots the ball well is going to win.
Taking a look at some more of our comments on Facebook and YouTube, as well as X, William Landon says ECU has looked much better in the half court sets the last two games. No doubt. Excellent point, William. I hope to keep this thing rolling against Tulane this weekend. Yeah, I will definitely be there on Sunday afternoon. I hate that there's a overlap between baseball at 1 and basketball at 2, but so my plan is to watch, you know, about 40-45 minutes of baseball, and then head over to Minji's, and then depending on how things are going in the basketball game, I may see some more baseball. I may not, but plenty of baseball to be seen, and with the way this basketball team's playing, I intend on being there for the duration of the basketball game, you know, as long as it's competitive.
Yeah. Well, hey, I wish I could be there with you. I mean, that's pretty exciting. But, yeah, good point there by William. I agree. We definitely have looked much more comfortable in the half-court sets the last two games, and just got to keep it rolling, just like William said.
And Justin Butts saying, because of that overlap with baseball at 1 and then basketball at 2, going to be a tough attendance numbers. Because you think about it, odds are you're going to be looking probably about 3,500 plus at each venue.
Yeah, you're kind of splitting the fan base in half there. So yeah, good point by Justin. It is going to be tough, but maybe you can run back and forth, you know, whichever game is closer, Justin, you know, just run back and forth.
And then you have JR Johnny Robertson, aka Johnny Stats, chiming in with at the 16:04 mark of the second half, the score was RJ and Brandon 30, Wichita State 29.
Johnny, I say this every show, but he comes up with some crazy stats. That's a good one right there. I like that. Yep.
Let's take a look.
Appreciate you, Johnny. And yeah, and all the guys chiming in, Justin, and appreciate you guys chiming in.
Yeah, a lot of participation tonight after a big East Carolina 68-55 victory over the Wichita State Shockers at Williams Arena Minji's Coliseum. Let's take a look now at the American scoreboard. Tonight, you know, we've referenced a couple of these games, but you had SMU. SMU took down the Tulane Green Wave, of course, the opponent for the Pirates on Sunday. You know, that score, I believe it was 87-79 as I bring things up here on ESPN.com. 87-79 was that final in New Orleans. Tulane actually led 41-37 at the break, but then the Mustangs apparently shot the lights out, outscoring Ron Hunter's ball club 50-38 in the second 20 minutes. Charlotte 79, UTSA 70 tonight at Halton Arena, in front of a little over 3,700 there. And the 49ers are now 16-8, 10-2 in the American. Meanwhile, UTSA fell to 8-17, 2-10 in the league. You had 24th-ranked Florida Atlantic. They returned to Boca Raton, and they took care of the Temple Owls 80-68 after leading by 11 at halftime. And then North Texas, a 10-point winner over the Memphis Tigers. Penny Hardaway's club goes down tonight in Denton, Texas, 76-66. It was the Mean Green leading 33-38.
Boy, oh boy, Penny's team is struggling. And they're really struggling to score points lately. You know, another subpar performance tonight offensively for them. That's a team that's struggling. You kind of feel like things are going south there a little bit for Penny. And listen, I've never been overly impressed with his coaching ability. I'm sorry, I just haven't. He's had superior talent, and I think he recruits really well. Obviously, you know, he's brought in some big time talent, but what they do with that talent on the floor doesn't always impress me. And it's going to be interesting to watch that situation, you know, down in Memphis, if the fan base becomes, you know, starts becoming a little restless there. And then the other thing that jumps out tonight, Bubba, is another, you know, Temple was a 19-point dog tonight. You know, they lose by what was it, 12 here. I felt like that was another good pick tonight that I missed. So, you know, as you get further into the season, you start to learn these teams' tendencies. And you could start to be able to almost predict these games pretty close.
Taking a look at the standings now that we ran over Thursday night scoreboard, we mentioned that Charlotte's 10-2, 49ers now tied with Florida Atlantic in second place at 10-2. South Florida sits in first atop the league at 11-1, 18-5 overall are the Bulls. Just a tremendous job, as we've talked about on a pretty consistent basis over the last few weeks, by Abdur-Rahim and that regime after coming in from Kennesaw State. Sitting in fourth place, you have SMU at 9-3, UAB 8-3, Memphis now 7-5, North Texas 7-5, East Carolina 6-6, the Tulane Green Wave 4-8, Rice 3-8, Tulsa 3-9, Wichita State 2-10, UTSA 2-10, and Temple 1-11. So Wichita State now that makes the second opponent that the Pirates swept a pair of games from this year, Temple, and now the Shockers, and that is you know, unfortunately, the first time that East Carolina has defeated Wichita State at Williams Arena, Menchie's Coliseum. But, you know, give credit to Mike Schwartz and this staff, because I really think just, you know, our history with so many of our fans, you know, this time of year, you know, you lose a few games in a row and, you know, our fans think, well, here we go again. You know, you can just pack it up and get ready for baseball season. And I understand where they're coming from, because it's undoubtedly a very frustrating history, that of VCU basketball. But, you know, this team played well down the stretch last year. You know, made a little noise of winning a game and then playing number one Houston well in the second round of the conference tournament. So let's hope that's happening once again and even to a greater extent here in 23-24.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And, you know, one thing about this team, Bubba, you know, throughout the course of the season, these guys do fight. I mean, they really do. They play hard. You know, obviously the shooting isn't always there. But they do play hard. I think, you know, they're outside of one or two games, they've shown up, I think, with the right mindset. But, you know, I think, you know, the key for this team moving forward is literally you have to have that one game at a time mentality. You focus on the next game. The next game is the most important. Get the win, and then you move on. And when you really look at this conference, I mean, I'm looking at, you have the standings up right now. You know, you really get the feeling that you can be competitive with everybody in this league. And to a certain extent, we have been, you know, outside of, you know, we were competitive with Florida Atlantic. All right. South Florida put it on us pretty good, as did Charlotte. But, you know, this is a team that can really make some people's lives miserable. And, you know, I just think that one game at a time mentality is going to be huge.
And Mike Schwartz and his team, they may say a game point mentality, you know, as the Pirates with their shooting shirts and have GPM, you know, as they seek to play every play, you know, whether they're, you know, up by 20 or down by 20 or anywhere in between, and with that mindset and the attitude that the game's on the line each and every possession. And I really think, you know, with the way this team's played, even though we're just a game above 500, we've pretty much been competitive all season outside of a game or two, you know, in that George Mason game and maybe one or two others. But, I mean, we've seemed to have embraced that mindset, and there's certainly reason for a lot of hope and that we can finish the season strong and at or above 500 in league play, which is a very rare feat with East Carolina basketball. Sorry, got Pirate baseball on the mind with opening day being tomorrow, but a very rare feat for Pirate hoops.
Bubba, what time is game one tomorrow?
4 o'clock first pitch. Treya Savage against the Ryder Bronx, 2 o'clock on Saturday, and then 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Gotcha. That is pretty exciting, man. I'm jealous of all you guys that are able to go to that game. I wish I could, but, you know, not in the cards. Hopefully the weather cooperates. We're getting a snowstorm here as we speak here in Connecticut. So hopefully you get some nice weather, you know, for opening weekend.
Well, I know you sent me the video, I guess, a couple of days ago, maybe 3 or 4 days ago now, that where you got a foot. So how much of that foot was still around before you received more snow?
Actually, all of it, because we had a major cold front come through. It's been in the 20s and very windy. And, you know, like the frozen tundra, you know, it's nothing really melted. And tonight we're getting about, I don't know, 3 or 4 maybe more inches on top of it. So, you know, this will last for a few, you know, 3 more weeks here, and then we'll start to move into spring. But there is a reason why, Bubba, all the good baseball players from the north play or want to play ball down south, and this is it.
Yeah, no doubt. And a few more comments here, or a couple, both by Justin Butts saying he believes that he'll stay at baseball and watch on ESPN Plus on his phone while at Clark LeClaire. I'm sure you certainly will not be by yourself there, Justin, and I'd imagine that's what the Jungle Crew and others will be doing on Sunday afternoon. I just, with the way this basketball program and this team specifically is performing and, looking to kind of take the program to the next level and have the best performance in the American Athletic Conference, I think I'm going to be at Minji's, as long as that game's competitive, Now, if it becomes a 20-point, 25-point margin or something, and with perhaps even with the Pirates winning, then I may head back over to baseball. But I think start off at baseball and then Pirate hoops. But, hey, whichever the case, and just get out and support the Pirates, whether it's baseball, then hoops, or just one or the other. Hope to see you out at Clark LeClaire Stadium and or Williams Arena Minji's Coliseum on Sunday afternoon. Also, get out to support Shane Winkler and the Softball Pirates. They will be at home, and here in a moment, we'll run through that schedule. They went 6-0 down in Charleston last weekend, had a single game against Charleston Southern on Thursday before playing five games in the tournament at the College of Charleston. They were very dominant, 54-7. They did have a close game or two mixed in there despite that 6-0 record, and then they rallied from a 4-1 deficit. They trailed 4-2 in the seventh inning against North Dakota State on Tuesday afternoon and rallied a three-run double there in the seventh to win 5-4 in walk-off fashion. And that equals their best start in a couple of decades for ECU softball. And taking a look at their schedule for this weekend, Shane Winkler and the ladies will be hosting the Pirate Clash. They have Fairfield, Marshall, Longwood in town. You have the Pirates squaring off with Fairfield Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock first pitch, just like baseball. At Max Joyner Family Stadium. Saturday, the Pirates play a pair, 12:30 against Marshall, 3 o'clock against Fairfield. You have a softball jersey koozie giveaway, so pretty nice giveaway there, if you come out for that one. And then on Sunday, the Pirates play a doubleheader against Longwood, 12:30 and 3 at, of course, Joyner Family Stadium. And the Pirates have another big weekend, and they're going to have quite the gaudy record going into the third week of the season.
Absolutely, Bubba, and hopefully we can start it off the right way this weekend.
And Justin Butts chimed in and said, Bubba better be down the following weekend for the UNC game. Of course, that traveling series, the Pirates – square off with the Tar Heels Friday afternoon at Bochimer Stadium in Chapel Hill. Then on Saturday at 2 o'clock in Fayetteville at Segra Stadium, the home of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers, the low A ball team that's also in that league, with the Kannapolis Cannonballers that are, 6 or 7 miles from my house. And then Sunday afternoon, the Pirates and Tar Heels will meet at Clark LeClaire Stadium. Justin, will unfortunately not be at Friday's game. We'll be attending the daddy-daughter dance, but I'll be at Segra Stadium on Saturday with my parents. And then also on Sunday afternoon, we'll be at Clark LeClaire Stadium for game 3 between the Pirates and Tar Heels. Really looking forward to that top 15 matchup.
Absolutely, that'll be a fun one, Bubba. And hey, it's time. It's that time of year. Very exciting.
And let's see. Justin Butt says, I've done paid off the umpires for Sunday. LOL. Who knows? Maybe we'll see Wilson Rayner, East Carolina alum, calling things for that series. Let's see. Okay. It says Macon Hammond and Steve Sanders. Steve Sanders, I believe, actually a NC State alum. But, my memory, and I've told Justin this, this was 20 years ago, hard to believe, or nearly 20 years ago. It'll be 20 years ago in May. And the Pirates were beating NC State at Granger Stadium in Kinston. And Steve Sanders threw out Elliot Avent, the long time and, tied for the longest tenured head coach in the state of North Carolina, along with Elon's Mike Kennedy. And he says, Justin says, Wilson will be in town for the Keith LeClair Classic the following weekend. And Justin, you say he hates State. I'm assuming you're talking about Steve Sanders. Interesting. But, hope to at some point get Macon Hammond on the program. It may be a while now since the season is here. Maybe during the summer months or in the fall, we'll have Macon Hammond on the program to talk a little about umpiring and some of the rule changes that have taken place in recent years, such as the pitch clock, etc. But want to give a shout out to Mark Menicazzi, former East Carolina third baseman, and Kazi's support of the show. He will be the title sponsor for Extra Innings. The debut of Extra Innings will be Sunday night, as we'll take a look back at the season opening series between East Carolina and Rider. PGXGloves.com, they have baseball gloves, batting gloves, football gloves, golf gloves, swag, you name it. They can provide you with an excellent pair of, any of those items. Some of the gloves they have, Matt, you need to get Chase a pair of the GOAT gloves that they have. I know Riley, a few years ago, he had a pair of those.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely, Bubba. Send them on up, buddy. Send them on up.
And John White, former East Carolina pitcher from the Gary Overton era, chiming in. He said, what would be the feeling if the men's basketball team finished the year at 16-16? That looks plausible. Hopefully they sneak in a win or two against Charlotte or Memphis. Is a 16-16, is that record, or would that be progress? I think it would be, although very, very slight, from a record standpoint. But I think given what the Pirates would have had to have accomplished down the stretch to get to 16-16, I think it would be progress, John, because of the improved league performance. And yes, the league probably is not as tough as it was a year ago, with the loss of Houston and UCF, but still a quality league. And no doubt that, so to go 16-16, the Pirates currently sit at 13-12. You have six regular season games remaining. That would mean that ECU would finish 3-3 in regular season and then drop their first game in the tournament. And the Pirates would finish with that 16-16 mark. And that would mean, 9-9 in the American. 6-11 is the best the Pirates have ever finished in AAC play. What are your thoughts on this, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, John. For me personally, I'd really like to see ECU win a few games against the top half of the league. I think for me, that would really show that we are making progress. And, right now we're doing well. We're beating, the bottom half of the league. But what I'd really like to see is, a solid win or two over, an FAU or, a Charlotte or, you know what I mean? A team that's at the top of the league. So we'll see what happens there. But, hey, I would feel pretty great too if we could take three in a row and win this Sunday. But it'll be interesting to watch.
And as we wind things down on this edition of Pirate Basketball Overtime here on the Sports Objective, taking a look at the remaining schedule. Again, Sunday's game against Tulane, Alumni Day. That is one of three remaining home games. You have following Sunday's game, and the Pirates once again have a week off, or close to a week off, no midweek game, and Pirates will return to action that following Saturday at Rice, 2 o'clock tip-off on ESPNU against the Owls. Then the following Thursday, a painted white game against Memphis. Tigers, obviously so talented, but as Mark Adams mentioned on the East Carolina UTSA broadcast, Penny Hardaway's club has suffered. I think he's perhaps said this in press conferences, the disease of me, struggling to play together as a team, with so many talented pieces and egos, managing that and getting everyone to gel and be on the same page. And so, again, Tulane at Rice, Memphis at North Texas, at SMU. So a couple of very challenging road games there before returning home on March the 9th, which is a Saturday for 4 o'clock senior day tip-off against the Charlotte 49ers. So
plenty of opportunities there, Bubba. And,
yeah.
I'll just, hey, we're talking about this weekend and games coming up, and I wanted you to know I will be at the UConn Marquette game. I have courtside tickets, number one versus number four in the country. Very excited about that. So even though I can't be in Greenville, I did find a good sporting event to attend, and that should be a hell of a game, Bubba. Former Pirate Tristan Newton having a fantastic year for UConn, just kind of doing it all. And, I'm definitely going to be supporting him and looking forward to that one.
Yep, heck of a matchup there. Number one against number four. John White chiming in some more here, saying, and this is the best time of the year, baseball Pirates starting up. You have that overlap between hoops, baseball, and, obviously, with Pirate baseball, March Madness, and hopefully in the not too distant future, who knows, maybe with the way the Pirates are playing, we're certainly capable of making a tournament run. How awesome would that be, for Pirate baseball to be ranked in the top 10 and off to an excellent start, and meanwhile the Pirates making March Madness.
That would be a dream come true. When the Pirates make March Madness, that would be a dream come true. It will happen at some point, hopefully it's in our lifetime, buddy. Hopefully it's in our lifetime.
It's gotta be.
We'll see.
I was just shy of 12 years old the last time that happened, way back in 1993. But John says, I agree with you. I think the team's improving these past 2 years. Show me some hope. And William Landon saying, say hello to Tristan Newton for us, Matt. But
William, I will be courtside, so I'll pass it along. But man, Tristan Newton, would have been nice to keep him in the purple and gold, because he has become, a top five player in college basketball. Earlier this year, Jay Billis mentioned him as the national player of the year, and that was probably about a month ago. So, it's bittersweet, but, it'll be fun to watch him on Saturday.
As we're wrapping up this edition of the show, want to plug some of our content. We here within the last couple of weeks had Mike Rooney on the program from D1 Baseball. Excellent hour-plus conversation with Runes as we talked about the Pirates, the American, and all the other quality programs in our region as well as nationally. Just so many excellent programs in in the state of North Carolina and also bordering states. You take a look at it, you know, whether it's, you know, the four ACC programs, in addition to the Pirates, you have Coastal Carolina, Clemson, South Carolina, Virginia. Of course, UNC Wilmington is more often than not, you know, a top 40 type of a team, top 50, a quad one team when it pertains to the RPI. Campbell, who nearly hosted a regional last year, then Tennessee and everything they're doing under Tony Vitello. So, you know, I think in the D1 baseball top 25, out of those four states, you have something like 10 teams. Just a baseball hotbed and very easy to schedule well, you know, when you're in this region.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Bubba.
But be sure to follow us on social media, on X at the Sports OBJ, on Instagram and TikTok at the Sports Objective. Like and follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're going to have some sights and sounds from around Williams Arena, Minji's Coliseum, from East Carolina's 68-55 win over Wichita State. You know, thanks to our very own Dave Richmond, in addition to Diane Pons and Johnny Robertson, two of our loyal viewers and listeners here on the program. Appreciate them, you know, providing that content for us. And some of that content, Matt, I know I was telling you about this off the air, but very quickly wanted to mention this on the air as we're wrapping up at halftime. Excellent reviews for the football Pirates. They teamed up with the ECU dance team for a little halftime performance. And, you know, I saw Barry Kearney, longtime Pirate fan, as well as several others chiming in on social media saying it was tremendous.
All right. Well, I'll have to check that out. I haven't seen it yet, but I'll have to check it out.
That was tremendous.
I was waiting for that.
I don't think Johnny Gardner was in attendance tonight, but if he would have been, you know, that would have been the way Johnny would have described it.
But
that'll do it for this edition of Pirate Basketball Overtime. East Carolina 68, Wichita State 55. We'll talk to you, I guess, on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. We'll have Pirate Basketball Overtime and Extra Innings, a lot of content coming your way on Sunday evening. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll talk to you then. And as always, go Pirates!